that's what I thought it was, the same sign-in sheet.
This is the waiver notice from January.
Right, but I should cross my name out if I wasn't there.
Because you weren't there.
Anything that I should be aware of before this meeting.
Don't sign it.
Because we do it every meeting, I thought I recognized that same sheet as the sign-in sheet.
But I can't do it.
Okay, we're gonna get started. I'm gonna call this meeting to order. I don't think, unless anybody thinks they need it, I don't think we need to introduce the board members, except for the fact that we want to introduce that Barry Cohen has been seated on the board. He's the representative for the Port San Luis Commercial Fishermen's Organization. And so, other than that, the board is pretty much the same as it has been, with the exception of Barry, who's gonna be on board with us now. We're gonna go to the financial report. Since Dennis is in here, I'll just run through it real quickly. Committee holds $221,000, almost $222,000 in administrative funds. It also holds $595,000 and change in its improvement fund, which is the fund used for grants and projects. It holds separately $221,000 and change for Global Crossing, which to date is still not a member of this committee, so the committee holds that money separate in a separate account, and it's just languishing there basically until we figure out what's gonna happen with Global Crossing. As I say, they're not a member of this committee, so the money's just being held till later date. There's $130,000 still in the diesel improvement fund, and we're gonna talk about that a little later, the status of that. And that's pretty much it. So the committee at this point is pretty good standings with the money it holds for projects and stuff. And even with the recent, what you've heard about the cable companies and their problems, the committee at this point is still pretty viable and pretty well in a good working order. So just to let you know. And the financial sheet's available, I believe, on the website, or you can get a copy of it through Stephanie. Okay, we're gonna move down and just go into reporting the other business that the committee's been working on. And the first is the marine diesel repower, and which I just mentioned. There's $130,000. And change in there, $130,075. And the status of that is the committee was preparing to as an entity to itself distribute that money. There's a lot of paperwork, there's a lot of details that are needed to distribute the money properly under California state laws and all their other under the air pollution control regulations. Prior to that, what happened was the Air Pollution Control Board contacted us and told us they had a bit of money, about $60,000. They need to expel that money in the same form as we need to. So they have graciously agreed to kind of join in with us. They will add their money to our money, which will make it about close to $200,000. They're going to help us through all the details and paperwork, which will make the committee get this money out a lot faster and done right. And we're just waiting back for them to come back. They had to go back to their board and approve it, and I just got a phone call about a week ago from them, and they're probably next week or the week after they'll have all the paperwork ready for us, and then we can put notification out on the criteria. What the repower, what type of engines, and basically it's going to go on the same plan as the Carl Moyer plan through California. I think most people are pretty aware of what that entails. But we'll put notification out. It'll be in the newspaper. It'll be on the website. Everybody's on our mailing list. We'll get notification in the mail that we're starting this up. So there's going to be a lot of places for you to see that it's when it starts up. and then we invite everybody that qualifies or thinks they qualify, or anybody, you know, just if you think you want an engine or want to try to, you know, go into this plan, you know, be sure to contact us, and we'll have forms ready that you can fill out and all that. So hopefully that's going to be going on here real shortly. It's been a long time coming, but we were really drowning in the paperwork that the state provides for this program, and it was real nice that the Air Pollution Control Board is going to come in and help us with it. And they're providing more money, so that's going to help more people get, you know, we're going to distribute more engines.
For people who have already filled out the paperwork, after you file the paperwork, Randy?
No, you can resubmit.
You will not resubmit?
Yep. Okay. Safety grant. Let's see where we're going. Tom, you were going to speak on the safety
so
grant?
So far, we've awarded 13 safety grants for a total of $5,500. I'd like to remind the audience and everyone else that we have until January for the rest of the fleet to turn in their grant application for us. And I think the thing's running smoothly, and it looks like there may be additional, depending how much response we have between now and the end of the year, we may be able to advance the program to a little higher level for next year.
It says on that form that you can roll your money over into next
year. 2003, correct.
And you can use the whole $1,000 next year if you don't spend any this year.
The whole $5,000?
No, the whole
$5,000. It was for $500. What we did, we funded it briefly. I'll go back and review this for a second. We funded it for $500. For the first go-around, because we wanted to make sure we included everybody. And then once we determine how many people qualified this year, then once you're qualified, it should be, and we'll look at how much money's left over, we, and I hate throwing figures out, could possibly do another, say, $500 per qualified vessel.
Understood, but my question is that on the...
It says you can roll.
It says you can save your $500 and play with next year's $500.
Correct. Correct. So theoretically, if but you got to turn the application in this year, so we can. Everybody has to turn in an application this year, so we know, so we can work with the figures, and we're going to work on budgeting and that, and try and make the. And we hopefully we'll be able to expand it, or hopefully we'll service 100 boats, or.
Thanks, Tom. The next report we're going to have is on the elections for the two trawl director seats that were up for election. There was quite a bit of discussion about it, and due to some problems in the way the ballots, the information on the ballots, and some other issues that were brought up, the election has been changed slightly, and I'm going to turn this to Keith. Explain.
He's right there.
There he is. We're going to turn it to Keith to explain what the status of it is.
What happened on the election was twofold. The election process is called for under the bylaws, and we sent out ballots. But what happened was, in the nominating process, five people were left off so that they couldn't be nominated. When the ballots went out, they didn't specify what seats were up for election, so we had people voting for people that already held seats. And then apparently there was a meeting of the, and that by itself invalidated the election. And then apparently there was a meeting of the Central Coast Trawl Association. The people who attended that meeting were led to believe that this former election was invalid, which it's not. So basically what we're gonna do under the bylaws is we're just gonna start over again. We're gonna send out nomination forms. We're gonna send out new ballots. This is a valid election. And then, with respect to the Trawl Association appointing directors, my understanding is that's being addressed by some of the trawlers who are basically going to submit a bylaw amendment, see if the board passes that. If it does, then the selection process will probably be changed in the future. So that's basically what's happening with the election. So you're all going to get ballots. Don't throw them in the trash. You're going to get nominating forms as to who to nominate. And then you're going to get ballots, and don't throw them in the trash, because it's real. This will elect two seats. There'll be two more seats up for election in July of 2003, which is about, 10 months away.
I have a question. How about the timeliness of this procedure with the expiration of the current officers on the board? Will we get those ballots and the nomination ballots on the board in time before these expire, these seats expire?
Well, these seats will remain filled until we elect two people to fill them. We're going to do this as fast as we can and try not to make it our last word at this time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Keith. The last thing on reporting is I just want to bring up basically anybody that has a change of address or isn't beginning the mailings from the committee or and you did sign up for the mailing sheet or if you've had a change of address or you just want something different or you've never or you haven't been on the sign-up sheet to receive our mailings, be sure to drop off whatever you need with Stephanie, and she will update her database and make sure you get on the mailings, you get notification. So if you're not receiving, I've heard some people don't receive the letters from the committee about these meetings and some other information, be sure to let her know that, you give her your address again, make sure you're on it. If you're not receiving, or if you have a change of phone number or a different phone number or anything like that, be sure to let her know.
Is that information on the website?
Yes. And the last thing I'm going to report is, this is kind of last minute here. Since dropping the liaison officer due to Prop 0 that we're going to go into, the board has not had a real phone number for people to call in and ask questions or voice an opinion or complain or just about anything they want to do. Barnett Cox, Stephanie, has been gracious to handle the phone calls. But in reality, that's not her job to answer the phone calls. It really is the board's job, and we address that issue by getting a 1-800 number. And that 1-800 number is going to have an automated answering machine. It will be picked up daily by one of the board members. We're all going to take turns picking up the messages, and we will get back to those people that leave a message. Ask a question, we'll be sure to get back to them as fast as we can. I'm going to give that 1-800 number out right now. Stephanie also has it with her if you need it. The number is 888-770. That's 888-770-9353. Like I say, you will get an automated answering machine. Leave your message, and we will pick those messages up and get back to you as soon as we can, either by a phone call, if you leave your phone number, or by email, or some means. We're all in the two local towns here, so it's not that hard to get back to people. So.
Quick question on that one?
Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
Do you guys think that fulfills the requirement to provide a fishing liaison officer as outlined in the agreement?
Just to give you a quick rundown on that, this is just to give you somewhere to call. The board is addressing that.
So you're working on getting a new liaison.
We're working on filling that obligation and finding out how, the viability of the expense and the that the position's there. The committee's going to work on that, and this is just kind of a fill-in, Brian, so people have somewhere to call. Rather than Stephanie, who is very busy, and it's really not her job to filter those phone calls.
Nor does she have fishing knowledge.
Exactly. That's really not one of her functions. She's been nice enough to do it, but this is just to give you somewhere to call for now until the committee formulates what it wants to do with the liaison officer position. So. Okay, now we're going to move into the grants, some that have been funded, some that are have been received recently. So first one is the PRON grant proposal, and what I'm going to do first on this section of the agenda is we're going to open it up to a real short comment period. The board's not going to respond to you. It's just a chance for you to, you know, if you've got something to say about each one of these items, we'll give you a real short, just keep it real short if you can so we can get through them all. And then the board will discuss, after listening to you, then the board will discuss its options and then make a determination on it. Like I say, some of these don't need to be voted. Some have already been approved, so we'll get to those. But the first one I'll open up to is the prawn grant proposal. I'm going to open it up to the public, to anybody who wants to say anything about it before we talk about it here. So, anybody got anything?
I know who you are, but okay. I'd like to write your name down.
Okay, my name is Kathy Fitz.
Kathy, right.
Okay. I'm married to Gordon Fox.
I know, yeah. Kathy, I just couldn't.
So I'm the co-owner of the South Bay.
Okay.
And we have submitted the proposal. There's a group of, right now, there's 15 pawn trawlers who have agreed to hire an attorney, Ilson New, to represent fishermen when it comes to the decision that was made first to close all state fisheries, state-managed fisheries. The attorney represented that. We were able to make it so they didn't close all state-managed fisheries. They came back at the last meeting and made the decision to close prawn trawl. And I was at the commission meeting. I was actually the only fisherman's representative at the commission meeting up in Oakland to talk about it. I think it's very important that we actually fight the decision to close prawn trawling for all trawlers in the state of California, because if they are successful in keeping prawn trawling closed, the next ones are going to be looking at are pink shrimp, halibut, sea cucumbers, all the other state-managed fisheries. And I think it's important that we actually try to get it so the state has to reverse this decision. I think it's important for all trawlers along the coast, not just the prawn trawlers.
Thanks. Anybody else have anything? Sure. You can ask. Sure.
I'd like to ask Kathy one quick question.
Uh-huh.
Has Ilson given you any estimate as to how much it will cost to run this action?
I don't know that personally. I think he has talked to some of the other fishermen, and I am trying to stay out of the whole money issue, so I'm not sure exactly how much the total is going to cost. I know that I talked to him last night because I'm looking at some of the data from the Crunch, the Observer program, and they're planning on filing the injunction on Friday. They're just getting some of the data in order last night. He called me at 9:30 last night, so we're
working on it.
Yeah.
Anybody else got any questions for Kathy? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and open it up to the board now for discussion. Does anybody on the board have anything you want to chime in before we vote on the grant proposal, which I take everybody for granted, I'm sure.
And I think I would have to, you said injunction?
Right, what they are filing is a motion. I don't know all the legal details. I may not be using the correct legal term since I'm not an attorney. But what they have done is they will be filing in San Luis Obispo County an action against the state of California saying that they closed the prawn trawl industry or fishery actually illegally, that they didn't have appropriate public notice for closure. And in addition to that, the Observer program data, we've actually been able to show that the report that came out, that none of the numbers in the report actually jive with the data set. So there's a lot of inconsistency and errors in the Observer program. So they're going to be filing to reopen the prawn fishery for the remainder of the year. And I think there is also a request for financial compensation to those individuals that lost money because of the inappropriate closure. But I don't know for sure if they're actually looking at financial compensation. There is talk about it, but I don't know if they're doing it.
Anyone else on the board has anything to chime in?
I
Well, I'd like to know more information about it, to tell you the truth. If we're going to be a partner in the lawsuit, then I think one of the board members should talk to Ilson and see actually what we're getting into, because this may be just the start of something. It might not be. This is what we want, and we're happy. And I would like, personally, I would like to, if we're going to be partners in a lawsuit, I'd like to know what our position is, what we can look forward to, what the, just the same as you and your people would ask of him. If we're going to be a partner in the lawsuit, then I definitely would like to know what this lawsuit's all about, what his plan is, how much is it going to cost, is this like a down payment, you know, the whole thing. That's my concern about joining. I want to join. I just want to know what I'm joining.
Right. The one clarification that we need to tell you is that we are not asking the committee to become a partner in the lawsuit.
You are when you ask for money.
That the individual fishermen are actually the ones signing the agreements for the lawsuit. What we are asking for the committee is a lot like what the folks in Avila asked for, is to help with the payment rather than actually. So if you give us a certain amount of money, you aren't going to be necessarily responsible to pay for the entire cost of the lawsuit. But the individual fishermen are the ones that are signing the agreements with the attorney.
I understand what you're saying, but if we're going to support it with money, then in essence we're partners. I mean, I'm looking at it that way, and I'm not adverse to it. And I have a vested interest in it just the same as you do. I just would like the same information that your people have so we know what we're getting into. So if next month you need more money and you're going to come back, I would like to know that that's facing us. And I don't think that's unreasonable.
Okay, that's true. And I'm sorry that Gordon couldn't be here to give you more information, but he had to go to Oregon Fish.
Anybody else have anything they want to bring up? So the board is, what it's up for right now is the approval of the grant, which is $20,000. Tom?
I'm sorry, Randy.
Oh, I'm just asking the board for any more comments on the grant, the prom grant.
I have a motion if there's no further discussion.
Anybody else have anything? Go ahead, Tom.
I would like to move that we grant $5,000 to sustain the spot on action until we have further information.
We have a motion on the table. Anybody got anything to say to the motion?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Chris. All approved, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Don't we open this for discussion first?
We just did.
No, I mean, we did that, and now we should discuss the motion, I think.
That's what I asked for, questions on the motion.
Well, you just missed the question. We just weren't sure.
Yeah. You didn't say anything. Go ahead, Mary.
Well, I'd like to know why you picked $5,000.
Because they're having some action tomorrow. It limits our... I'll speak.
I'm hearing this, Tom.
That's right. See, and you know how my memory is. Everybody has to remind me all the time. That's why I take notes. I try to stay ahead. The reason I picked $5,000 was because we don't know what the top end of this lawsuit will be. I'm willing to support them initially here until we have more information. I don't want to see the lawsuit die. I want them to get ahead, get us back information, and then we can make a better educated guess as to whether they'll prevail or whether they'll be able to generate enough money in the long run. If the guy says it's $100,000 to prevail and they can't raise the money, then I don't want to chase a $100,000 estimate with $20,000 because you still won't win. I'm willing to support the effort initially and give them a chance.
I agree 100% with that. But I got a question for you again. Will $5,000 get you started so that we can have an opportunity to get the information back? Is that enough to do what he needs to do in San Luis County next week?
If you look at an attorney, attorney's fee, which is what, $100 to $150 an hour, you're looking at about. Did I say something?
I think they also charge a little more than that.
No, I think our agreement was $150 an hour.
It's cheap.
That we signed with him on.
It's about 33 hours worth of work.
Yeah, and so you're looking at, to file a suit, 33 hours worth of work is minuscule amount. I really don't think 5,000 is going to get us very far. Fishermen have kicked in quite a bit of money themselves already into it. I'm not sure how much. What I would ask, though, if you're saying that you'll give $5,000 and then ask for more information to make the decision, what hasn't been addressed is how we can get that information to you, what it is that you want us to give you, how you want us to present, and at what time frame we're looking at to get that information back to you to make another decision on it. And that's something that I would like, if you make the decision to fund a portion of it, you need to give back to us some input on how we can get information to you so that we can make a fairly rapid decision. Because we need to look at this quickly and move on it fairly fast.
Well, we just contributed 30 hours plus of Wilson's labor, essentially. We need to know the total. His best guess is to the total cost, whether or not it's a doable thing, and we're going to need something from the trawlers indicating that they're going to carry through with their end of the financial responsibility. That'd be number one. Number two, and
so
I've done.
Do you have a copy of the agreements that we have made, saying the fishermen have made, saying that they're going to be responsible? Because we've all signed agreements to pursue this, the fishermen involved.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult, but that, see, that we couldn't resolve that issue amongst ourselves either, and Ilson may be able to supply further guidance as to how he has to have some sort of an idea whether he's going to spend 1,000 hours on this case or 50 hours or
that
two.
Would be a little, like, phone call to see if I can find this out.
Yeah, that would be helpful. I mean, is that Mr. Chairman?
That's fine.
I mean, if we can gather as much information now as possible.
Okay, let me go to the phone call.
Point number two is how much of a strategy will the bycatch reduction play in this for looking at observers and having an experimental situation where you go back on the water with mandated or people using what we'll call BRDs, bycatch reduction devices?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand what you wanted there.
How much of the suit, if you're going to pursue the avenue of allowing the fluke back on the water with bycatch reduction devices and observers,
right.
We're aware that bycatch has been a big issue in this fishery.
Actually, it turns out it's only one boat
that I understand. So we're looking at
right.
this as we're all trying to work towards sustainable
yeah.
fisheries. And we see no reason why the spot trawling fishery should not keep fishing if they can address their bycatch. Then why would the state be able to limit what they're doing? Then we want to make sure the state plays fairly.
Right.
And we wanted to know the bycatch, how you plan to address.
I know that Wilson's proposal is that we start fishing, and after talking to the Department of Fish and Game, if they reopen it, the requirement would be that all prawn trawlers have to use it more and more frequently.
We would support that. So
yeah.
We're trying to.
Which develop. Is what Wilson is saying. Let us go back, and everyone will use the Nordmoor rather than just whatever fish excluder they want to use. Which is what the requirement is that Pink Shrimp Fishery in Oregon and Washington.
Exactly.
Excuse me. And that's exactly what I was talking about before. Is that's the kind of information that would really help me
okay.
decide how far I want to go with this. If I understand what's happening, and I understand a lot better now than I did before you started answering the questions. So that's why I wanted to have a little more discussion about it and see what we're getting into, what the fishermen are going to do, what their plan is, what the attorney's plan is. And then we see, I think you'll find most of us, we're fishermen.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to feel the same way. We just want to make sure we know what's happening.
Okay, let me go out and do some phone calls.
Okay, I'll tell you what, I'll table this till you get back.
Okay.
We'll kind of move along. We're going to put a hold on this, and then we can resubmit a separate motion if we want to amend what we just voted on, things that we just voted. So we can amend it if we want to, or leave it, stay the way it is. So we'll decide that when Kathy gets back. We're going to go ahead and move on to the Gillnetters proposal. Basically, the Gillnet proposal that came to us, it was kind of a long... took a long time to get through it, basically because it was hard to get, because of lack of participation by one of the cable companies. It was hard to get a total vote on it. We finally did. It was approved, and the check was signed and sent in the mail. So they received their money. It took a lot longer than it should have, but we did finally get the check cut and out to the Gillnetters to help them in their closure that they are dealing with.
I want to add something to that, if I could. Another thing that came up is when we did this, some issues came up, the same as we're talking about, the spot prawn trawl problem. And as a committee, we agreed that, number one, before we would get involved with the attorney, we required that he put in writing that he would no longer use one gear type against another as part of his defense, whereas he said something to the effect that if you think this is bad, you should see this other gear type. Well, we told him if he continued to do that, there would be no money forthcoming, because we're all fishermen are in this thing together. So it has to be a unified thing. You can't use one against the other. And he apologized for that, wrote us a letter that from now on it won't be that way. We got a lot more information as to what the strategy would be with the Gillnetters, what his plan was, and I think it made all of us feel a lot more comfortable to fund the project. So I think for all future projects, it's a good idea to understand where we come from, or at least where I come from. When I look at something like this, I would like to know that the most information could be provided, and hopefully it will work out the same for the spot prawn trawlers.
Does anybody else want to speak on it? I'm going to jump here real quick across one, because this one kind of goes the same way as the Gillnetters. The FMA submitted a grant proposal to us. In fact, they submitted many. A lot of them were kind of controversial. The only one the board could reasonably accept was basically money to just administrative money to keep the FMA a working entity to help them in, you know, just their administrative. That was approved, and the money, the check, again, along with the Gillnetter check, that money was sent to the Fisherman's Marketing Association.
Randy, how much money was approved on that? I was on the advisory committee, and I don't remember us recommending any at all for the FMA.
Correct, Travis. In fact, the FMA submitted, I believe four grants. Some of the grants were substantial. And the committee just felt some of the grants were too large for this committee to fund as a whole. Some of the grants were a bit controversial. The board didn't feel comfortable getting involved in some of these issues that the FMA does get itself involved in. Not that it's a bad thing that they get themselves involved in certain aspects. Some of it is really good. It's just the board wasn't comfortable with it. So it boiled down to the board discussed they wanted to help the FMA somehow. And the only one that was any way at all doable for us was the administrative money, which was $40,000, and that was funded in whole.
Randy, if I may, wasn't this fast track?
Yes, this
was a fast track.
This was brought back to us.
That's why it didn't go back through the
advisory committee.
The advisory committee again said it brought to us as a fast track item just for the administrative fund. We considered that as a separate work standard that the city approves.
Thank you, Mr.
Guy.
Did Pete like to talk to you guys down here about going to he's gonna have the meeting in Moss Landing about the conservation area? Is he set up a meeting here?
In Morbay, yes. He's coming down the coast, he's bopping down through each port. I'm not sure what the date is, and I'm not sure Pete knows, but I did get a phone call from him stating he was going to be in Morro Bay too.
He's in Moss Landing tomorrow.
And, yeah, I would imagine he'd be in Morro Bay in the next day or so.
You could always have it at the Fisherman's Care Storage if you need a place.
All right, thank you, Tom. Okay, we're going to move back up the agenda here because that one was just pretty much the same as the going there, just to let you know that it's been approved. Okay, the status of the ice machine. John, I believe we're going to open it up to anybody that wants to speak on it, but I know John does. So.
We did go up. Almost went as we went up. I can't remember. We've been back to you guys since we went to Santa Cruz, but that was a roaring disappointment with the Sunwell system up there. The owner of the company did go down and see the one in at SeaWorld. We would still like to have fishermen see that set up. I mean, it is a concern that you guys would be using the majority of that ice and that you'll be happy with it. I have been trying to get, because I know there is a lot of concern, it is a new type of setup. There is some concern about how workable that system's going to be in that type of ice. I've been trying to get a quote also from North Star. So far, their service has been not quite as upfront as I would like. But I did get some information that is, if we use a North Star with salt water, you have to do a lot of improvements to the machinery to where it'll stand up to the saltwater ice. But the company did do some research, and it looks like they could install a reverse osmosis system with it, and it would pretty much be a trade-off, the cost of the reverse osmosis as opposed to the improvements that would be needed on the North Star to stand up. So you would also have the advantage of you'd be back to doing freshwater ice instead of saltwater ice. The city of Morro Bay is paying for the water feasibility study, and the engineering company is working on that right now. And they are pretty much keeping it to either pumping out of the bay, using an existing saltwater well, or drilling a new saltwater well, just because of the cost of water here. So we're still moving ahead. We're the structural engineer is pretty well done with his work. There might be a few changes if we did go to a North Star system as opposed to the Sunwell, but I believe with the way the load is spread out that the engineering work we already had done will cover that work, but I'll have to get together with him on that. So we're pretty close to the point where as soon as we make the final decision on what equipment we want to go with, that we're ready to submit to the city. And we've had the pre-app meeting with the city, included all the departments, including the sewer department, because there was a concern over the brine discharge and everything. And we pretty well figure we've got it, we can address all of their concerns, and we won't have any problems with the city at all.
All right. And I was just looking, and remember, any other studies, you know, I think we granted you $25,000 for engineering studies, and mm-hmm. I don't think quite reached even 10 of it, so there's still money available to you to continue your, you know.
Good, because I got another bill for you.
Bring it on up afterwards. Bring it on up afterwards, John. We'll take care of it.
Okay.
Anybody got any questions for John?
Yeah, if we fund this project, are you going to discount the ice to the fishermen? Will there be any discount to the fishermen?
It basically will be just to cover expenses, which is what we do now with ICE. We really, ICE is not a profit-making thing. And when with going with the starting with saltwater, we are pretty confident that it'll keep the ICE costs down pretty close to where they're at now. So we never have considered ICE a money-making proposition. If anything, we probably lose money on the ICE we're selling right now. So.
Anybody else have anything for John?
Okay. John, are you going to put it in anyhow?
We will be putting in an ice-making facility regardless. I seriously doubt that we would be able to finance the entire cost of one that the size needed for icing up all the boats and everything. And also, we would in turn have to bring the price of the ice up, because then we would be having to pay out the financing for putting in the machinery. So there would be recouping our costs if we were to install it ourselves.
Well, how much is cost ice?
Right now, with the block ice, it's works out to about, what is it, $70 a ton for the block ice.
And you figure when you're done, that's about what it's going to cost to pump
ice? We haven't
ice.
Gotten the final prices, but talking to the representatives for both companies, they feel that it would be in that vicinity or possibly even a little less.
And what is the price of ice in Gablaberry?
I don't think that's
just curious to compare. Anybody else got anything? No?
Well, I was curious.
Anybody else got anything for John? Okay, thanks, John. Oh, and be sure to give me that.
Okay, it's still down. Work talk.
Or just lay it up here before you. Okay. The last
Does
thing.
The public get to comment on this, Randy?
Do you got something you want to say?
Yeah, I absolutely.
Go ahead.
Have something
Go ahead,
to say.
Brian.
There's several of us local fishermen, myself and Brad League, who probably account for about 80% of the hook and line landings of the last 10 years in this harbor, who have been alienated by their dock. And I want some kind of assurance that people like me and Brad and John Hansen's another one are going to be able to get ice out of this machine. And I'd also like to know, why aren't we putting it on the dock that has the fuel? Wouldn't it be more convenient to get fuel and ice at the same dock? So it just seems like a no-brainer.
And what but dock is that? Let
that's
me ask.
Giovanni's dock, DeGaramore.
That's private property.
So that's not a city lease out there? So
right.
You're saying that's why, because it's private property?
No, I'm just telling you that there was issues raised initially. It is private property.
Also, it was brought to Mike.
Okay.
Mike just didn't seem interested.
Okay, well, meanwhile, you do have three fishermen I can name off the top of my head. Myself, I sold the guy fish in February. He wouldn't get me paid. I finally had to go down there and get on the fish buyer's butt, who was the end receiver of my fish. They let my fish die. I finally get my check, and then I get a call from this guy saying I ain't welcome on the dock. You know, so you guys know how much I fish out of this harbor. I got to be able to get ice. So I hope you write something into that grant. The city tells me he probably won't be able to exclude me because it's going to be city-owned in the end. But I don't want to get in a spot where I can't pull my little 32-foot boat up to the ice dock and get ice. So I hope you write something in there to where if he's alienating people, they can still get ice.
That has been addressed.
Go ahead, John.
Okay. I didn't really plan on getting into personal attacks, but I should answer a few questions here. First off, one of the people that you mentioned, John Hansen, I unloaded him yesterday. One of the issues that, there are fishermen that are excluded from the other ice dock at this time. Brad League is not excluded from our dock. The problems he suggested were problems with the quality of the fish. It didn't. So that's got nothing to do with the ice-making facility. And there is a little more to all the stories, but I'm not going to go into the specific details.
Tell the story like you see it, John.
It's all Rich Pond.
This,
don't
message your spot. This is not the place for that.
Right. Unless you're having planning to enjoy. This is when you slam the gap.
Okay. Go ahead, John. Finish
point
up.
Point is,
we don't want to get into it.
One of the items that was that I did mention that we wanted to include in our grant proposal was a credit card, either a card lock or a credit card system. For easier accessibility to all the fishermen, and anybody can come at any time. As long as the only time we exclude anybody from our dock is if there's a physical threat made to people on the facility, which I think is a fairly reasonable request. So, but it is, and if there is a problem with that, they are always welcome to come after hours, because that is one of the systems that we wanted to put in. The ICE facility was a card lock or credit card system.
Okay, thanks, John. Anybody else got anything they want to talk on that? And Brian, the board will discuss that, what you mentioned. And anybody on the board want to have anything to say about the John's comments? Or
well, I know when I discussed this with Rick Outner originally, that it was an open access ICE dock if it was on city property.
Okay.
And that's already been addressed.
Anybody else got anything to say about the way they're moving forward or anything for John?
John, do you hear anything from Oceano Ice Company about chopping off the blocks? Or do you think what your status there is?
I don't know if you've ever talked to people down there. It's really hard to get straight answers out of there. They are moving ahead with their flake ice machine, and it is a matter of time before they do it. We haven't gotten any specific deadlines from them, but they are still moving ahead. The biggest thing is, basically, they have to get rid of the block ice because the health department. I don't know if anybody's gotten the block ice recently, but it's very black. Been making them chlorinated and taking up all this extra stuff out of their wells, but the health department has gotten on them, and they have to change their water that they use and the entire system. Their block ice making facility is an antique, and they have to replace it. So it's not that they want to; they have to.
They've never mentioned that they would continue to allow block ice in use for certain things other than consumer goods. Just that they are.
Well, they're going to put a warehouse where their current facility is because they're going to have the lack of space down there. They can't have the two. It's not feasible to have the two. And for them, the fish business is such a small percentage of their total business that it just wouldn't make sense for them, because most of their ice production goes to the vegetables. So they can't use it on that. They have no, there's not really much point to them making the block.
Anybody else got something? No? Anybody else want to say anything on the ice? Okay. Okay, John, thanks. Okay, we're going to move back up. Kathy's back. So
I don't have much information yet.
Well, go ahead.
You're also going to start with a traffic jam, and so if he wasn't available, he should be in the office in about a half hour. I did talk to Gordon, and he says this is his opinion on the whole situation, is that they're requesting the $20,000 as a maximum commission from this organization. If they don't spend the $20,000, they will do an accounting and give anything back to the committee that isn't spent, and that the fishermen involved will take the responsibility for the rest, or they will find another source for the funds. But we'll call Olson back to find out if he has more. So when I talk to Olson here, I want to know what he anticipates the total cost will be through what point, through the injunction aspect of it.
I think one of us would like to talk to Olson.
Okay, I have his personal phone number here.
I got
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to propose a subcommittee
And I think by all volunteer, I think Barry is also. And so we could address what Kathy, well, when she talked about sort of the, you know, with it, with regard to information, how, when, where. So I think a subcommittee could address that so that we could work with them to.
I think that's a good idea. Barry, are you willing to?
Sure.
Okay. I think two of you would be enough. Should we do that?
Well, let me ask a couple of questions then if I can. You're needing all this information rather quickly, I'm understanding all
this.
So if we do a subcommittee, then we need to agree we've got to move this thing fast. We're also going to need to agree as a board we can get back together rather quickly to decide whether to approve additional funds or not. I don't know if everybody's going to be in the county or not, but we need to take a look at how quickly can you make the decision. You're talking about filing an injunction Friday of this week?
Yes.
Okay, do you need those funds before you file the injunction?
It would be nice to have, because what we're at the point now is how much are the individual fishermen willing to take on fund-wise, how much money is going to be available to us in total so that we can make the decision of how far we want to move this ahead. You know, personally, you know, Gordon and I are willing to move ahead, but we happen to have the funds available to us to do that. I think there are a lot of other fishermen who have signed the agreement who might not have those funds readily available to them. And I don't want to put them in a situation where they're going to have to cough up money that they might not have.
What I'm trying to find is that, you know, the board's agreed to build at least fund an initial $5,000 just to at least get you. Seed money is basically how I would refer to it. That could at least get you started. Will that make you long enough, you think, that it provide a little bit of lead time to the so the community can get together and spend a few days talking about this?
I'll make a counter proposal. And when you don't necessarily need to take it. It would be nice if they could do $10,000, because I think that will give us, you know, 66 hours worth of work that will help, and then we can provide the rest of the information. You know, from the fisherman's perspective, that's what I would like to be able to see, is that we have a little bit more than $5,000, because we all know that $5,000 isn't going to go very far with the amount of time.
I would make that motion.
Or we could amend the motion.
Well, I think what you do is you would amend a motion that's already on the floor to change it from 5 to 10. Yeah.
So, Chris, you're going to make a motion to
amend the current motion issue?
Well, I would have to amend the current motion. My question would be, do you need Bob's vote to amend that?
No.
Okay.
No, we have enough here to begin.
Okay, well, I would amend, so I would amend the original motion to be.
Okay, well, your motion's standing on the floor. You can amend it yourself or someone else can.
I think it would be for simplicity, I'll amend the motion or withdraw the motion and just restate it as.
I think just amend it. Let's just do it.
So amend it to $10,000 to sustain the spot for action.
I'll second. Anybody want to speak up before we vote? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
So the subcommittee then is Chris and Barry. Should I just contact you and set up a time for you guys to talk to Ilse?
Can you stick around when we're done here? And maybe Barry and Chris Nation speak together?
We'll just do it offline so we finish the meeting.
Okay. You guys will stick around.
Thank you.
Anybody else have anything to speak on the grant proposal? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have a question on the last one about grants being accepted right now.
We're going to go right on to that now. Well, just one second. Okay, we're there, Brian. Grants, we're beginning the process again because we do it once a year for accepting grant proposals. Grants, we're going to start the process November 1st. We're going to take in grants through December 31st. That'll be the cutoff date, whether your grant's postmarked or
hand-delivered, or however you want to do it.
If I may interject, what's actually written here isn't quite correct, so just want to be sure we clarify that. We're saying grants are being accepted through November 1st. That's not exactly the case.
No.
Grants, we're now opening the...
We'll be beginning to accept.
The acceptance of grants, or acceptance of bids for projects as of today, and then...
It says through November 1st. Actually, it should say grants. We will begin accepting grants November 1st through December 31st. And then during the month of January, the advisory committee, we're going to get them together again. I think hopefully they've all been notified that the process is coming up. January, they will have their month to go through the proposals that were received. Hopefully by the end of January, they've done their recommendations to the board. Then this board will spend February going through the proposals that were passed on to us. And hopefully, with all everything, you know, if everything goes as smooth as we would like to see it, February 28th, the board would try to get together right after that to fund grants. So I'm going to open it up to anybody who wants to speak on it. Is that it, Brian? Okay.
Yeah, I was just curious if either one of the associations had put anything regarding the emergency booking line rock drops or whatever that's in effect.
Well, we haven't started accepting them. We haven't started accepting them yet, but contact them, if they will, they can certainly submit one to us. I'm sure they'll have one or two. All right, Tom?
Sure.
But anyway, it's open to any kind of, you know, it's open to any grant. So that's going to start November 1st. But December 31st will be the cutoff. I don't think that if you have something and you want to turn it in before November 1st, that's fine. If you got something right now, you can turn it to us. We're not actually going to be looking at them, though, till after the cutoff date. So
I do have a comment. With regard to that, the board is looking at a larger situation with a cock show study. And in fact, I may have another copy here of a survey form. If you'd be so kind to fill it out and participate, I'm sure everybody would be very happy if you filled up before you do it right now. And Barry is trying to spearhead this to where the fishermen actually will supply some data over what we think is happening to the bocaccio stock. There's many of us that feel that there's a lack of information in our area. There hasn't been an adequate study or any study for, what, 22 years, Barry? Is that the bocaccio down here?
No accurate ones.
No
period.
Accurate period.
Period. Sorry, I'm not trying to interrupt you. I want to make a correction, and I think you'll agree with this. The board isn't considering anything at this point. There are individual fishermen, okay, board of directors that are considering. There is no proposal before the board. There's there's nothing being considered by the board. It's not been brought before the board. There have been discussions among the board.
I'm sorry. This is correct, Michael. Within the fishermen within this group have been looking at for ideas how we can support the other fishermen and this bocaccio situation. The bocaccio down here is the driving stock for these closures, for both recreational and commercial. So we are looking at that and seeing what can be done.
Right. That's the outside 20,000. So there's also an inside 40,000 closure that I'll bring it to Barry at the next general board meeting.
I just wanted you to know that we are looking at the,
that's a good,
we are trying to look at
the right direction, but there's also an air shore catastrophe going on.
Do you know Bill James?
Yeah, I do. I talked to him.
Get in touch with him because he's working on it and you guys put it together.
Can I just add a comment on that? There's two research vessels that just came through in Coral Bay. They're doing a Pacho survey from Morro Bay down to the Mexican border right now. I talked to one of the scientists who I know from Oregon and also the skippers on the vessels. The comments from that is all of a sudden the Pacho were back. that they've got a lot on the survey tomorrow day. So that's something to just keep in the back of your mind as you start going to the meetings, that there may be some new data out there showing that the Pacio aren't as threatened as they thought they were.
My first comment is, I'm sorry, I'm glad I didn't get anything in the mail. I just gave her my comment. So the IGL mail was, I'm sorry, I missed most of that. I was at work in Barrie, and this whole closure all the way down is because of Picacci. And I talked to Dr. Clark and Hastings and Paul and those guys. And the ground fish management team, California delegation sat right there. Dr. Gates suggested that the Kaji pitch was Tom Barnes and
Dave Thomas
said, I don't know. And the doctor has to begin one more time. He says, I don't know. Yes. That's the data that they're working on. And that is what triggered, from that point, everything. To the zero catch on the Kaji, which we stopped all the fishing. They gave us 20 tons or less. Everybody, and that there's no, absolutely no commercial records of any kind that they can use.
I think no reason. I think we all know that the data is flawed.
Right, but that, I mean, that's what keyed it all up. I mean, from that, when they put it into the little computer, that's when it spits out the bottom what we get in nearshore, and it goes under. As soon as it goes under precautionary, everybody got cut 50%. We ain't got pounds. That whole near shore season's going to last 2 months.
Well, I'm sure, I know Barry's been real interested in working up something for this, to look into this stuff. So I'm sure, you know, whatever input you got, Guy, you're down there with Barry all the time. So.
Oh,
for my notes, what was that name?
Brunmark. Fishing vessel Suzanne.
I'm sorry, I don't hear very well either.
I've got it written down here, Tom.
Okay. God, thank you.
G-R-U-N-D.
G-R-U-N-D.
M-E-I-E-R.
All right.
Anyway, that's getting off the beaten track. But basically, those kind of proposals that we're bringing to us, you know, we'll have, they're going to go to the advisory committee, they're going to do their job, and then they'll come to us.
I want to be sure everybody's real clear on this, though. The board does not generate proposals. It's up to you as a fisherman and the fishing community to develop these proposals and to bring them to the board so that they can go to the advisory committee. It's fine if we sit and discuss it, and the individual fisherman is directed. You know, we're welcome to discuss this all along, but the board is not going to create a proposal for you. You have to do that process yourself. So if it's an issue to you, then I suggest you get with other fishermen and develop a proposal, or maybe talk with some that are already in the process of developing. Now, that's the only way it's going to happen. The board does not create proposals. And they'll not be doing that in either way in the future. So it's up to you to come forward with what it is you want this money to be spent.
Yeah. And one more thing, too, is as a committee, we're working on, like, a budget approach to the funds that are available for enhancing the industry. So there's going to be competing things for the funds. You know, on one hand, you got the lawsuits. The other hand, you got research. The other hand, you got safety issues. So it's going to have to be a balancing act because it's not unlimited funds. But for those of you that want to see your project, I would recommend that you get on it, because other people are going to be submitting theirs, and there's only so much to go around, and if it's going to be divided up, you know, we can't spend all the money on lawsuits and have nothing for research for the next year either. So I just wanted everybody to be aware that we're working on that, and it's going to be part of how we do this.
Hey, anybody else? Yeah, anything you want to talk about with regards to that we're going to be taking in next year's living? Just let everybody know. Okay, the last thing we're gonna do here is just open up. Anybody else got anything to say? It doesn't have to be anything on the agenda. Anything else anybody want to bring up?
Just public comment?
Absolutely.
That's my favorite.
Hi.
I just had a couple quick questions. The last time I was here, I kind of rejected lost gas compensation for the last 5 months on this year. All over the same thing. process and you get a lease with it, it should apply to the entire, until all those claims are paid out. And when you guys start jockeying that claim form around and changing the rules and changing the agreement, those of us who are still left out here feel as if our stuff should be processed under the original agreement. A couple of questions I bring with me today, and for myself and several other people who still have outstanding claims, we're kind of, there's a movement, kind of a grassroots movement. We're starting to band together. We're all starting to feel like the process isn't fair on the overall, that we really don't want to see it in the future go this way. We're hoping next go around we come in with a good plan and a good way to compensate our fishermen. Everybody walks away with a smile. Cable company, the fishermen included, I hope. The questions I have, and they were for Bob Margo. I don't see him up there anywhere. But I'm going to go ahead and ask him, and I know if nothing else, Stephanie will relay him on, and maybe some of you guys might have some input on it. The first question, and I've asked it before, I'm just going to ask it again and get it on the record, is that the committee plan on providing a claims resolution process like outlined in the original agreement that you got your State Lands Commission, the AT&T in this case, or whoever owes the other people involved. Is the committee ever going to provide that claims resolution process that was outlined in the original agreement that the leases were got with? Are you guys ever going to do that, or is that pretty well not ever going to happen? Is there no, there's no claims resolution, or is there no claims resolution?
I think that Tom, you were the one who brought it up. That was addressed on the plan.
Yes, and the discussion I had with Robert Wongo lasted for about 3 minutes, and he simply stated that the next time, and this could be in 2004, I'll throw out the date that he threw out, we will, prior to any installation, have a meeting of the affected gear types, and we will sit in a room and work out some sort of an agreement between the company and the fishermen group. Were the representatives of the gear type. He wasn't happy with the way it went the last time. Many fishermen were, and as it turned out, this committee is not the adjudicator. We have no legal jurisdiction over this sort of thing, and it's really beyond what we felt we could do adequately, so the committee has no intention of actively
resolving
claims. We just can't do it, Brian. It just doesn't work. But then there's a guy that walks up to me that wants to punch me in the face over something that I did. And I refuse to do any more of that kind of situation. The rest of the board can speak for themselves, but I refuse. If you do not like my refusal, you can find somebody who will sit here that wants to carry me.
Brian, again, I'll try to address it a little bit from a technical perspective. I am not speaking to Bob Morgan by any stretch. There has been discussion among some of the board members. We would like to develop a process so that perhaps we can avoid all of this to begin with. So there isn't a dispute to begin with, so that we have a clear process of, you know, how these duties are selected and assigned. And there is an ongoing effort among the board members to try to come up with a basic proposal. As our understanding of today, there really isn't any immediate demand for this because there isn't any activity that we're aware of. But we are trying to address that. And that's what our goal is. I believe everybody would agree with that. We want to come up with a process that will address a lot of this ahead of time so that there won't be a problem. We can have drawings, we can manage pull, and once things happen, there's just a handful of things. That's involving getting lost catch on. So what we're talking about is trying to find a way to solve it, but we don't have an answer to this.
Well, I think the short answer is no, the committee's not going to provide a claims resolution at the time.
Well, for that's
the short answer.
I'm
just at the interim. I don't want to come here and burden you guys with my lost catch plan anymore, so I'm trying to just figure out where to go with this. And not just me, but myself and about a dozen other guys who are roaming around with lost catch compensation claims, half of them here, half of them up north. Or we feel like we didn't necessarily get the fair shake, or maybe the other guy got too fair a shake, but the way it shook down, it was not a to a judge is basically the way I see it, because I come here again and again, and I present my plight, and I tell you how unfairly I was treated, but in reality, I just go away trying to plan my next visit and tell you guys again in a different way how I didn't feel like I got treated fairly. So, okay, this, I understand I'm not going to get my claims resolved today, so that...
Yeah. Well, the problem with this board is, again, I've told you this, I think, a couple of times, right, is that we just absolutely have no, this board has no claim over AT&T with regards to claims.
Right.
AT&T works on its own separate.
And there's given.
This board has power over them.
To resolve the last time, and I won't say it again, but they took the document and got their lease, they outlined the resolution process. And now a lot of guys didn't get their stuff resolved because the state thought that it was going to be resolved at this level. That's the way my understanding to this day about it. Regarding the cables that have already been installed on the leases that were already issued, the state thought you guys were going to be the go-between between us and them. That's what their thought was. And now they may view it differently. I haven't talked to them.
They do, because we did get it. We told the state that the board was uncomfortable with resolving claims fisherman to fisherman. We just didn't want, you know, we weren't going to be the guy to say yes or no. We thought that was, and the cable companies felt that was their, you know, that was their deal, and the board felt real comfortable letting them handle it. So that did get changed. The very first version, when you're talking about, that's the way it did state. But after that, it was because the board just didn't feel comfortable. You know, I mean, you don't want me, you know, saying yes or no on your claims. You know, you want, you know.
Right. Well, I don't want to have to go see a hired attorney and go see a judge either, so it would be kind of nice if you guys would. But unfortunately, I see it's not going to happen. But this is kind
there
of
is a process, like Tom stated, there is a process in place now for future claims.
Right.
I know that doesn't help. I know that doesn't help past claims, but at least we did address it for future, you know, problems.
Absolutely. I think when it does wind up in court, the judge will be reviewing that original agreement, and that's what the judge is going to adjudicate upon. And I think a jury might be here in the county jail. I don't think it'll be a problem in the end. I think it's going to be okay. I think it's a shame I have to go through so much stress to get to the point where I finally understand it's not going to be resolved here. It's going to be resolved in Superior Court. So, okay, I understand that. And then I'm just going to ask this again on the question. Bob Marco's not here to answer it, but did the cable company plan on settling any of these outstanding claims without having to go to court? Or should all the outstanding claimants be grouping together and hire, you know, should we be getting our own representation? Because we don't seem to be making any headway coming here and trying to get results. So, yeah, I don't know if you have any input on that. Or do you even have any outstanding claims? I just don't know if I'm not there. So, well, there you have it. They sent the guy who paid all his claims. All right. So basically the question was, am I going to have to take AT&T to court to get this resolved, and then you don't represent it here to answer
it? Yeah, I think that's good. You have to make on your own.
Right. Okay. There's one thing.
It's a scary last effort and things, guys.
All right, thanks, Brian.
I can explain, but you only hear it once from me, okay? Now, this whole cable thing, I got nothing. I was never asked for a reserve. I was never asked for guard duty. I was never got any compensation whatsoever. Okay? I don't know. Everybody up there knows me, except maybe Tom. Everybody knows I got a boat. It's tied to your dock right now, Barry. Next time this thing goes down, you know, I've given her my phone number and my address. I gave it to her. She sent me a financial statement. I gave it to her again. I didn't have this. I guess elections was talking about. I'm not going to rehash it. But if I start getting left out of the loop here, guys, you know, maybe it's because of my abrasive personality. But if I get left out of the loop, then I'm going to get more abrasive. And I'm not threatening anybody here. I'm just going to come with a damn lawyer. Because I think I got really screwed. I called Vernon Jean, I called Vince on the Vernon Jean. I did all the proper things. One of the companies went belly up and stuff. I'll give you a floppy of the toes that I made from Port San Luis. You got the same program, John. In fact, you dropped some shit right in front of me once. But
you didn't catch it, did you?
Yeah, I did.
I caught it with this attorney. But I just feel that I've really been nailed. And I came here today not knowing. I had to go to the Harbor office to find out where this is. I'm one of the 23 directors. Now, how come I am not getting informed? how come I got left out of it? I mean, I might be...
Well, all I say, guy...
Okay, you don't have to answer.
Oh, no, 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 at least, you know...
Just give me a kiss. Yeah.
I think I can say one thing.
We have your information. We're going to give you a ballot so that you can vote on
it. After I get hammered one time, I just want to kiss.
Well, that's one of the reasons why the election was changed.
Why are you a fisherman then?
Huh?
I said, why are you a fisherman then?
What?
We did the bias kiss you?
I mean, I told you me and Barry were friends.
You know, there's a process for any future work that's happened. There's a process for that now. It's in the agreement. There's also, just remember, that's what you have port representatives for. They're supposed to be informing. I don't know. BJ was your port representative down there at the time. Let's not even go into that one. Let's not go into that one. Okay.
I'm just here because, you know, I wanted to, you know.
But, yeah.
I found out where it was at, and like that, and I found out whatever, and now Stephanie will now make sure I get my mail.
Once you're on the mail list, you'll get everything you need to get. That was one of the reasons the elections changed, because there were some problems. Some people didn't receive the ballots. Bill Ward came to me and gave me some names that we didn't have addresses for.
Okay. Anyway. Well, I'm back on.
As long as you're on the mail list, guy, you'll get everything. We'll make, you know, okay. Try to make sure. There's also a website. You know,
I use a camera on the computer. Okay.
Okay, well, she'll make sure that you're on the mail list, so you'll get everything that's sent out.
All right.
And you'll be notified. As, you know, we're not notified all the time either about some activities that the cable companies do until the day before it happens. So as soon as we know, it goes out the mail and you'll get your.
Okay, thanks. That's all I wanted.
Okay, not a problem, guys.
Just a quick story.
Yeah. Okay, anybody else got that? Bill.
Bill James, Fort St. Louis Fishermen Association. Guy and I just got back from the VFMC meeting, and it was disastrous. We have these closures out there, 20 to 150 fathoms. Up in the north, it's 20 to 250 fathoms. And it's based on really poor science. That's the reason that it's collided by the camera here. But last year, we didn't know that this was all coming down as hard as it was going to come down. It's come down. Barry was there also. He can tell you. We need to do something. The science is real bad. I don't know. You know, I'm in the near shore. I don't have a trawler. But, you know, and I know that this committee has basically been set up for those folks a lot. And I don't know exactly what projects are out, but if the cable committee can move along and have a fast track of something to help the industry. I mean, this shelf closure, it's just not a shelf closure. It's the shelf, theoretically, by their definition, is 20 to 100 fathoms. Well, they've gone beyond that to 150. They closed out a whole bunch of other fisheries that are basically a bycatch. We're getting hammered in the near shore. The albacore guys are getting more people. It's affecting every fishery. So I just really implore you to talk amongst yourselves and see what are the best projects to get us moving out of this situation. Whether it's litigation, you know, whether it's research, we have to do something. You know, and it's imperative now, while there's some of us still left, you know, to do this, because they're moving on a real fast track to put us out of business. Every single one of us, I don't care what your type it is, whether you're on the beach perch fishing here, they're even talking about eliminating commercial perch fishing. I mean, you know, in an area where we haven't caught a Picasso and whatever. You know, the science is so bad. You listen to them. I mean, we have listened to them. I have listened to Al Papa. I've talked to him. Barry's talked to him. God has talked to him. We were up there. You listen to all this stuff. And the law says the best available science. And it's the worst available science, but they still are required by law. Either we need to change the law, we need to challenge the law, We need to do our own research. I don't have the answers. I wish I did. I wish I had a crystal ball. But if we don't do something now, the whole West Coast is going to be gone. And that's what I got into this a year and a half ago, becoming somewhat proactive for the fisheries. And we're really, really, I mean, I talked to somebody who's been a trawler for 40 years last night. And, you know, I don't need to mention names. And he's right down to barely making wages. He used to make a good living. You know, and yeah, some of us might be a little crazy. Some of us might not be a little crazy. But it's still the fishing community. And the fishing community has been around since, I think, probably around B.C. sometime in different parts of this world. It's a major, major impact on the world. We can't let it go without a fight. We've got to do something. And I don't have any recommendations for you guys, except for just get together and do something. And I know there'll be a lot of different ideas coming up, and listen to each other and come up with, you know, if it's one, two, or three ideas, but we need to do it now. That's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
Well, again, I'll reiterate what Mike said. Of course, we're all fishermen on the board here, except for Mike. And basically, you know, don't worry, we're just as concerned as you are. We're all facing the same things. But I'll reiterate with Mike, what Mike said, but we don't generate, you know, spending the money to help the industry, which we want to do. You guys got to bring it to us, you know, whether you bring it to Barry and you guys form it to Barry, bring it to Chris, Tom, or whatever. Bring us something that we can look at that we can help with. You know? We can't do it ourselves, but you guys bring it to us. That's what we're here to do.
I mean, the committee is not going to do anything. What will happen is you as fishermen will present proposals to do something. The committee can help fund that, and that's all that will happen. So I can tell you, every one of these fishermen is concerned about it because I've heard from every one of them about it. They talk a lot about it, and they want to see something happen. But it's got to start with the individual fishermen or groups of fishermen who's done a proposal, because the board is, that's not what our charter is. Our charter is not to go out and fix the fishing industry. It's to administer an improvement fund. And they're more than willing to consider spending some of the funds just for the issues you're talking about. But it's up to you to make the proposal as to what it is you want done.
Thank you. I don't mean to be a little emotional about this, but, you know, I got fishermen calling up and flying. You know, I got guys selling their houses. You know, we got lots of stuff going on in the industry that doesn't need to happen if the fishermen can get together and obviously work up some goals. So I was speaking to the fishermen end of the committee, and I know that what goes out comes back in a mirror, and I'm really speaking for the whole as this community, because, you know, this should not be a bunch of seashell shops. I mean, we want to have boats in this harbor that are working, you know, whatever they are, however they're working. Try to promote that and make sure that we focus on that. Because next year, we don't focus now, there may not be a next year.
Bill, excuse me, there is a fast track method to get proposals to the committee also. And as quick as you could get them together, you could submit them as an emergency project, so you don't have to wait for the whole process of, you know, November 1st and whatever. So you guys get together, and I'll help whatever I can, and put together a proposal. We'd be happy to see it. I think I speak for everyone on that.
Absolutely.
We feel exactly the same as you do. We just need some proposals to fund.
What I'd like to add to that, you look, every proposal that we've been given regarding what you were talking about, we had funded. And one of them right now is going to be ongoing. And we wouldn't have been able to do that without the cable companies doing what they did. So we really have done.
Paul, I haven't seen you have it. I appreciate what you did last year.
I just think it's worth pointing that out.
Yeah, it is. It is. And you guys have funded. And I'm just saying that, you know, in the future here, because of this critical, I just don't want to lose this issue. And it's not a criticism. I didn't mean for that. I'm just saying that's the word. We just need to be diligent in our efforts, all of us. And, that's all I didn't mean to do.
No, I know you don't. I still think it's worth pointing out, and we need the support of the fishermen to be able to do these things, too.
Well, I'm sure we're putting that in our association. I can only speak for myself, but, you know, I'm sure with among the supervisors, we have meetings coming up and we'll probably take those to you as fast as we can.
Bring it to us, but we will, you know, we're going to look at everything. Anybody else?
Yeah, one more time.
Go ahead.
The last day of that PFMC meeting, this affects the halibut guys. They're going to shut halibut fishing down. Carolyn Garrison's handed a letter saying that they're going to sue if they can shut it down. He stopped that. But there's a lawsuit up against National Fisheries right now for letting us drag outside of 20 fathoms. So it could be shut down. I mean, they can shut that thing down any time and just come back and emerge. I talked to the Sports Analysts Association. I found it, and that letter's I'm going to get a letter to everybody. I was talking about the proposal thing. I'm not even sure what the hell you call it. No good with paperwork. But I think I was telling you, Kathy, I'll get you a copy of that, and that might be something that we could can explore, because it's supposed to be on the governor's desk right now. If it goes through for that one, then the model's already passed. And it was I don't even know how to explain it in this form, but I'd like to talk to you later about it, because she's got it on the computer, and it's already laid out, and all she needs to do is sign. If that happens, and we might be able to do that, manage, you know, get the research, do all that stuff. But she's got to show me that, and then it takes money to, so that's what you guys are talking about coming forward for
right
after those. Because what it sounds like here is it's just one lawsuit after another. And you know who wins lawsuits? The lawyer. The lawyer always wins. I mean, $5,000 when we get started, $10,000 maybe, $20,000, and you'll end. Down the road.
Yeah, but Guy, you know what? We need to win some lawsuits.
Well, I'm not saying that it's not something that needs to be done, but, you know, just throwing monies at lawyers, man. Every one of these fisheries, we're going to be throwing monies at lawyers. And you said you can't spend all this money
right
on lawyers. And that $20,000 a pop, it's going to go quick.
But if you win some lawsuits, that says
right
something,
like,
too.
It'll ring their bell. Sure, I'm going to ring a bell, jerking chains. I like that. You know,
we're done.
I'd rather do a little 5 gallon propane bottle and a flare, but I mean, you know, lawsuit.
And we're just one group with money. I mean, there's other groups out there that need to be explored that have money that can provide money to help. You know what I mean? I don't know who they are, but it's got to be somebody else too. We're just one group. You know, like we do, we have limited funds, but we're doing our best to distribute them out to the real important things first.
I'll find somebody that knows how to write.
There you go.
I'm no good there, because now I can explain it to him. If you guys want to talk to him later after the meeting, you all know Kathy Fosmar. She's a pretty smart individual. She's definitely got a handle on something. It looks a whole hell of a lot better than a lawsuit. I mean, lawsuits, we need them, but it looks like something that might be a little better.
I would like to thank Guy for going to the council meeting on behalf of the fishermen of our area. I mean, for a guy to go out and spend a week up there, I've been to the council every year.
For, drag.
It is. It's a tough deal, and I'd like to thank you on behalf of the other ground fishermen.
My pleasure. I had fun with them. They were calling me by my first name after a while. Guy, come on, you're up. Yeah.
Well, that's what it takes. It takes involvement by all the fishermen.
Yeah, well, I just talked to him
when
they put one foot in
their
peanuts at a time.
That's all
they do. Okay. Anybody else? Kathy?
I just have.
Go ahead.
And these are easy ones.
Go ahead.
And this is just some housekeeping stuff. On the election for the board, the one thing that was missing on the ballot was the name of the vessel, so that you could never actually see that there was one vote per vessel, so that's just kind of a housekeeping thing, so when the ballots come out next time, you actually ask for the name of the vessel somewhere on the ballot,
or
a separate envelope that has it, privacy envelope.
We can put the vessel's name next to the person's name, sure.
Yeah, so, well, who is sending in the ballot?
Right.
So the person sending in the ballot, you need to have the vessel on there. The other one, this is just Gordon asked me to tell you this, is because he was on the committee that reviewed the grant proposals. He had two requests for that. One is that you do a page limitation on the grant proposals, so that when they get all of this in, if they're not reading 30 pages, then they can kind of limit it to 10. The other housekeeping is that his opinion was that the committee needed some better guidelines on the funding for them to review the grant proposals that came in last year. So those are just kind of two other things.
Thanks. I spoke to Gordon about that. That was my concern, too, was that there was maybe not enough guidance put to the advisory committee.
There's no guidance.
Right. And so basically, I think what we're going to do, Kathy, we're going to set up, we're going to have the same criteria that was there before, and I think everybody was kind of happy with that, except I don't think it was, just wasn't followed as well as I think Gordon wanted, or as chairman, and as well as everybody wanted. So I think we're going to have the same criteria, but I think what we'll have is at least one or two of us or three of us sit in with the advisory, just as if you have a question for us, the advisory committee can then ask us, and we can explain a little more about the criteria. Just purely be there so you guys can ask us, you know, is this the way this is supposed to be or not, you know? Just there, and then you guys do your business. We won't have any formal business there, just there to help you guys, help Gordon, you know, run the meeting the way it's supposed to be run. Okay. Anybody else? Okay, well, the last thing we need to do is we're going to schedule a next meeting. I kind of whizzed it over here to Barry while we were talking. I'm thinking, and Barry thinks the same thing, I think we'd like to have the last meeting. This was way too long because we just didn't have, things were very slow in coming, so we really didn't have much to report. But we should have had a public meeting prior to this. So I think we're going to try to set in 2 months to have another public meeting to keep you guys informed. Has anybody got anything they want to add? Would you like to see it longer, shorter? 2 months seem okay? Try to have another public meeting to get together? And
Bill? Mike?
When does that put us into December?
No, it puts us in November.
November.
Well, that's the only thing I was going to say. You've got Thanksgiving, the 26th or 7th, and I don't know how easily that is to work around.
Let's just tentatively then jockey and see what we come up with in maybe mid-November before Thanksgiving vacation.
Or
possibly first week of December. Let's just jockey the dates around. I'd like to have one a lot sooner than we had this one.
Yeah, if you guys see the guys down the waterfront, you ought to ask them to come to the meetings, too. It'd be better if we have more participation.
More input. Okay, so we're going to do that. We're going to work up a schedule to try to mid-November or just after or after Thanksgiving vacation, whatever seems to work out. We'll try to schedule another meeting here. Other than that, I'm going to go ahead and adjourn the meeting. And thanks, everybody, for coming. I'm just going to